Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you that, Lord, you are good. In the midst of all the craziness going on in the world, all the evilness, all the pain, the violence, all the hatred, when it seems like things are spinning out of control, Lord, you are good. And your faithfulness and your faithful love, your word tells us that your faithful love endures forever. Lord, we praise you for that this morning. We thank you. Lord, we just pray as we go through this scripture, as we go through what you've laid on my heart over this scripture, as we continue through the Gospel of Matthew, Lord, that you will be glorified today, that you will speak through me, and that we will, just as we were praying before we started the live feed, that lives will be transformed because we simply preach your word, and we rely on your spirit to make us a new creation, and the blood of Jesus to cleanse us from our sins. Lord, we love you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 12, it's been quite a while since we've been in our study of Matthew, but if you want to do that, and then Luke chapter 6, if you want to find that as well. So Matthew chapter 12, and then Luke chapter 6, if you want to just kind of mark that, we're going to read the same account or the same story, but two different accounts. So we're going to look at Matthew's. But I love Luke goes a little more in detail on this, and he has some stuff in there that really just spoke to my heart this week for this message. So Matthew chapter 12 and Luke chapter 6. The title of the sermon this morning is People Are Greater Than Religion. People Are Greater Than Religion. So the last in-person service that we had, if you recall, my brother Rolf Grubb was here. He came all the way from Christiansburg. He's our team leader when we go to Zimbabwe, and he shared on some of the stuff that's going on in Zimbabwe now. But he shared a message about revival that was very timely for our church, very timely for our community, very timely for our country and the world. We need revival personally. All of us do. We always do. We need revival in our church. We need revival in our land. And those who were not here, we ended the service, the entire church, praying for revival. That's how we ended the service. So some stayed in their seats to be, you know, because of all the stuff going on. Some were with us probably praying at home. Many people were on their knees right up in the front of the church. If you remember, that was almost a month ago now, which is crazy. But we were all just pouring out our heart to God, and we were praying for revival. And hopefully we continue to pray for revival. So if we've already kind of slipped away, if you're like me, and you say, well, I'm going to be praying for revival, and then a week later or 3 days later, you've already forgotten about it, you get distracted, hopefully we can go back to that place of praying for a revival in our country and in our life and in our church and in the church. See, this is where we need to stay, in this place of surrender and asking God to work in us and through us in our life. And as we ask for God to use us to start maybe the revival in our church, maybe to start the revival in our land. Everywhere we go, everybody we meet, everybody that sees us, we should be passionately sharing the gospel. If nothing else, we can share what Jesus Christ did for you or did for me in our personal life. That's exactly what Rolf did as he shared his testimony, a little bit of his testimony and how God has worked in his life. Well, as we get back to our study of the Gospel of Matthew, way back in January, all right, when we were still there, we saw that Jesus was under attack by the religious leaders, if you recall. He had broke the law of the Sabbath. There were all the rules and regulations that they had put in place. And if you remember, his disciples were following him, and they stopped along the way, and they picked up, and they picked a few heads of grain because they were hungry, because they were following, if you remember that. And the religious leaders there were condemning the men. They were just waiting to call them out. But they knew that they were following God and himself in human form. They were following Jesus the Christ, in a God himself in a human body. They weren't worried about the religious leaders because they were following Jesus. And I love what Jesus swiftly reminded them. He reminded them this. He said, I am Lord even over the Sabbath. He reminded them that he was supreme. He was the Messiah. Well, today, we're going to see where Jesus is under attack again. Jesus encounters this man. He goes to the temple, and we're getting ready to read it in just a second. He goes to the temple, and he encounters this man with a deformed hand or a crippled hand. And I think some of the translations actually say his hand was shriveled. And so he had a handicap. And these religious leaders were just waiting and watching to trap Jesus. They knew how Jesus was, and they knew Jesus was probably going to want to heal this guy on the Sabbath, and they were just waiting to see what he was going to do so they could hang him out to dry, or maybe find something to bring charges against him. So let's read Matthew chapter 12, and remember, I'm going to go immediately over to Luke chapter 6 after we read this, and we're going to read chapter 12, verse 9 through, we'll go all the way through 14 this morning. This is what it says. Jesus heals on the Sabbath. Then Jesus went over to their synagogue, where he noticed a man with a deformed hand. The Pharisees asked Jesus, "Does the law permit a person to work by healing on the Sabbath?" They were hoping that he would say yes so they could bring charges against him. And he answered, "If you had a sheep that fell into a well on the Sabbath, wouldn't you work to pull it out? Of course you would. And how much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Yes, the law permits a person to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Hold out your hand." So the man held out his hand, and it was restored just like the other. Then the Pharisees called a meeting to plot on how to kill Jesus. Now let's go straight over to Luke chapter 6. If you've already got that marked, same thing. It says Jesus heals on the Sabbath. Verses chapter 6, verse 6 through 11 says this. On another Sabbath day, a man with a deformed right hand was in the synagogue while Jesus was teaching. The teachers of religious law and the Pharisees watched Jesus closely. See, they were just standing there watching. If he healed the man's hand, they planned to accuse him of working on the Sabbath. But Jesus knew their thoughts. He said to the man with the deformed hand, "Come and stand in front of everyone." We're going to talk about that. I love how Jesus did that. "Come and stand in front of everyone." So the man came forward. Jesus said to his critics, "I have a question for you. Does the law permit good deeds on the Sabbath? Or is it a day for doing evil? Is it a day to save a life or to destroy it?" He looked around at them one by one, and then he said to the man, "Hold out your hand." So the man held out his hand, and it was restored. At this, the enemies of Jesus were wild with rage and began to discuss what to do with him. Let's go to the Lord one more time in prayer before we go through this. Let's pray. Father, again, we just thank you for the reading of your word, and we thank you, Jesus, how you show us what really is the heart of God. Lord, in your actions, in your words, in your teachings, in your example that you gave us, in your perfect life, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you that we have the perfect example to look to see really what pleases God and how we can have a relationship with God and how we can really live a life that's pleasing to him. Lord, there's so many rules and regulations that we can make and that we think we have to do or we shouldn't do, but God, you show us right here in your word, right here. Lord Jesus, you show us what really is important to God. And Lord, how much you really do love us, your people, your children, your creation. That we were made in the image of you. And Lord, there's nothing that you care for more than us. And so Lord, I just pray today that as we go through this, that maybe you would speak to each person as we're going through different things or in different walks of life, and that you would speak to us. And Lord, that we might have an encounter with you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So not much is said in the Bible or in this scripture really about the background of this man with the crippled hand that was healed. Not much is really said. So as far as I know, the other Gospels don't say anything else about this man other than the fact that he was healed by Jesus. He was crippled. He had this shriveled up hand or this deformed hand. He had this problem, and we don't know why he had it or what it, if it came on later in his life or what. But there are other historic Hebrew writings that aren't recorded in the scripture that say that he was a carpenter by trade. So I don't know, maybe that this is something that happened to him later or whatnot. But so here's a man who had to use his hand. He needed the use of his right hand to earn his living and to do the things that he was skilled at doing to earn that living. He's a man who wanted to do work, but instead, most likely, when people would come to the temple, if they had problems or they were crippled or whatever, they came to the temple not only to worship, but they would have to beg to have a little bit of money to buy food or beg to have what they needed, because there was no government assistant back in those days. And so they would come to the entrance of the temple, or they would sit in the back of the temple, and a lot of times they would beg, and that's the only way they survived. Well, see, Jesus uses this man as a testimony to yet prove yet again that he is the Messiah, that he is the one with all authority, and he shows the people, the religious people, and everybody that was there at the temple that day, he is showing them, and he's going to show them, that people are greater than religion. Let's look back at Matthew chapter 12. We're going to stay in Matthew, but I just want to read Luke because we're going to touch on that just a little bit on a couple lines that he shared. But look at verse 9 and 10 with me. We're going to go through this like we always do. It says, "Then Jesus went over to their synagogue, where he noticed a man with a deformed hand. The Pharisees asked Jesus, 'Does the law permit a person to work by healing on the Sabbath?'" And in parentheses it says they were hoping that he would say yes so they could bring charges against him. Now the first thing that we need to understand about this scene is this. This was not the same day. I remember when before the disciples, when they left the synagogue and they picked the grain and the religious people were there fussing at them and they were accused of working on the Sabbath. This is not the same day. This is a totally different day and it's a totally different town that they had walked to. So here they are encountering the same problem in a different place on a different day. Jesus is in a synagogue and he had come to worship on the Sabbath. Jesus himself wanted to come worship the Father. And these religious people tried their best to interfere and to kill that spirit and to quench it. All they were doing is looking for the negative. But notice, I love this, Jesus didn't storm out. He didn't tuck his tail and run. He didn't say, "Well, those people weren't welcoming to me. I'm going somewhere else," or whatever. He did not allow the opposition to cause him to withdraw from worship. He did not let the opposition or the people being rude to him or whatever stop him from doing what God had called him to do. We're going to stop here for just a second. I want to tell you, there is no church, and I can't remember the saying, I saw something about it. You're looking for the perfect church, you're never going to find it, because there's people. People are the church, and nobody's perfect. And so a lot of times we don't like something that happens at church, somebody offends us, the first thing we want to do is we say, "You know what, forget them, I'm going somewhere else." I can tell you right now, there's probably somebody, maybe that's even listening online, or maybe that's even here this morning, that somebody, even maybe me, has, even if it wasn't on purpose, has offended somebody, or offended you, or maybe you've offended somebody else. We're going to do that. And there's going to be people who are just going to be looking for the negative. Because you know what? There's going to be people that are going to be naysayers and people that are going to gossip and everything. But you know what? We follow Jesus' example. We should follow his example here. We say, "You know what? Even though my feelings were hurt, even though I don't like that person that sits on the other side of the church, or even though back in 1997 I had a falling out with this church member, that's not going to stop me from coming to the temple and worshiping God." Because that's what the purpose of us gathering together is to worship, put everything else aside, to come together as believers and to worship. So here is this man with a shriveled hand who probably had been sitting all by himself. Nobody else probably paid any attention to him. He'd probably been rejected by everybody else in the temple. Somebody might have stopped him along the way and dropped a little money for him or something like that. So they didn't, but they probably didn't speak to him. And here are these religious people who are just using him as a way to trap Jesus into doing something that they consider wrong. And what does Jesus do when he sees this man with the shriveled hand? He goes right over to him and he acknowledges this man. So I'm going to tell you this morning, and we need to be reminded, when no one else, you feel like no one else in a church service, no one else in your workplace, no one else in the world will acknowledge you, I'm telling you this morning, Jesus, God's word is telling us this morning, Jesus will acknowledge you. When everybody else rejects you in the world, Jesus will accept you. Now, don't take words and put them in my mouth this morning. Jesus will accept you the way that you are, but he accepts you the way that you are so he can change you to who he wants you to be. When everyone else overlooks you, Jesus will see you. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. Maybe I'm just the only one. You see, Jesus shows his compassion for people by, out of all the people in the temple, he acknowledges this man who came with all of his imperfections. Jesus showed his compassion for this man with a deformed hand. But he also is going to show that he can, he's going to show this man, he's going to show everybody else that he can use this man's weakness to really display the power of God. And that's what Jesus does. That's what's so awesome about our Lord and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He will use our weakness to display his goodness, to display his faithfulness like we sang about. He will use your weakness to show his power in your life. and all those people who are around you. Whether it's a physical handicap, maybe you're physically weak, or whatever, for whatever reason, you've got a physical handicap in life, and you think, well, I'm weak, I'm not like everybody else, or my right hand doesn't work as good as my left hand, or I can't do this like the other people can. Whether it's physically being, or maybe you just think, well, I'm the worst sinner. There's nobody else in the church that has a background as bad as me. How could God ever do anything with you? Maybe you're spiritually weak. Whether it's physically or spiritually, Jesus will take that weakness, God will take that weakness, and He will make you strong for Him and in Him. Maybe it's to demonstrate great faith. Maybe it's just to say, man, I can't believe that's the same Anthony Corr that I used to know. I can't believe that's the same Corbin Flynn that I used to know back when we were younger, whatever. Man, I can't believe he has the faith to go do things like that for the Lord. Maybe it's to be a great example of just what he can do through somebody. I can't believe that God can. It has to be something spiritual. It has to be something supernatural. There's no way. Maybe he wants their testimony to be told, just like Roth told. You know what? He said, you know what? I was a latecomer. And he didn't brag about him being a lifelong, you know, noble and Christian guy and righteous and all that. No, he said, I lived my whole life searching for something. And it wasn't until I was in my 40s when I really accepted Jesus Christ. Or maybe God wants to use their weakness. Maybe God wants to use your weakness just to have a special relationship with you in that weakness that nobody else has. Whatever it is, maybe he wants to use it just to get you to accept salvation. Maybe sometimes with our spiritual or our physical weakness, we can get down and we can get so low and we can try everything else that God will use that just to get our attention to where we'll say, you know what? There's got to be something more. I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Either way, whatever it is, this is where God works the best. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, the Apostle Paul says this, and this is one of my favorite passages, and I love it. Listen to what he says. That's why I take pleasure in my weakness. The Apostle Paul says, I take pleasure in my weakness, in my insults, in my hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. He says, for when I am weak, then I am strong. You see, while the religious leaders were there trying to stir up trouble, they were there worried about everyone else following their religious rules and their traditions and all these things. Jesus was worried about this man who was struggling, who was spiritually and physically weak. He was worried about this man and his well-being. He wasn't worried about religious rules. And little did this man know, he would come face to face with God himself in human form. Think about that. He came to the temple to worship God, and little did he know he would come face to face with God himself. But see, there was a little problem. If you recall, the rules stated, we talked about it almost a month ago when we were in Matthew, when we had an in-person service. There was a problem. The rules stated that you could not heal on the Sabbath unless it was a life-threatening circumstance. So here is a man standing in front of Jesus with a need. So he's faced with this question, should I break the religious rule? Jesus himself has this question, or should I help this man? Well, listen to the simple illustration that Jesus gives. Let's go back to verse 11 and 12 in Matthew chapter 12. Jesus answered, if you had a sheep that fell into a well on the Sabbath, wouldn't you work to pull it out? I love how he always comes back with these little illustrations and these little questions. He turns it around on him. He says, of course you would. And how much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Yes, the law permits a person to do good on the Sabbath. See, Jesus gives this perfect illustration to help these religious people and everybody standing there to understand that people are greater than religion. Think about what Jesus asked him here. He said, wouldn't you help a sheep if you saw it? If you saw it like it had fallen down a well and it was struggling on the Sabbath, of course you would. In fact, I don't think you would even think twice, because it's just in our human nature. We could say, man, there's somebody in need. There's an animal in need. Let me help them out of that well. Of course you would. You see, this showed everyone that just how unreasonable, just how ridiculous and ignorant these religious leaders were in their thinking, and how blinded they had become. Jesus, he had this simple question. In this simple question, we see two points that he says, two questions that he gives. This is number one. He says, is an animal's welfare to be put before religious rules? And then number two, he says, isn't a man more valuable than an animal. Now, I believe if somebody asked this same question in the year and the time that we're living in right now, in 2021, is a person more valuable than an animal? This illustration isn't quite as powerful because we've got a little out of skew on this. We've got a little out of whack, in my opinion. As crazy as it is, many people wouldn't get this because they think that animals are worth actually more than people these days. I mean, think about it. Now look, as cool as animals are, as sweet as they can be, I've got a little dog at home and I love him to death, and I would jump down in a well to save him. And he's a great pet and he's a great companion, and we can have lots of fun with animals. Alright, there's nothing wrong with that. But they do not have a soul like you and me. They were not created in the image of God like you and me. So of course, people are more valuable than animals. Jesus was revealing how ridiculous these religious leaders were, right in front of those who were supposed to be under their leadership. He's calling them out in their own little kingdom there that they had built. And he used a simple illustration to bring their blindness into the light. But again, this can happen to us today if we're not careful. So not just, you know, beating up on the religious and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all those things. We're not just beating up on them because it can happen to us. And we have to realize that. We can get caught up in traditions. We've talked about it before. Man-made rules. We can find ourselves in the same place that these religious leaders were in. And we make these unbreakable laws within the church. Or maybe we get used to doing things in a certain way. It doesn't have to be the old way that we do it. We can think that just because the church down the street, or just because we have a guitar and a keyboard and a drum, that's the way it always has to be. We can get caught in a trap of doing things a certain way and thinking that it's some kind of unbreakable law within the church. Maybe in a denomination or whatever it is. But if we really think about these religious rules in comparison to the value of people being reached for the gospel of Jesus Christ, if we really evaluate why we are so hung up on these religious rules, if we really look at how Jesus responds himself to traditions and religious rules, our own blindness will be revealed, just like it was with the religious people in his day. And we'll always find that following the Spirit is actually following God. So following the Spirit is always better than following our comfort zone or our man-made rules that we think we have to follow. And if we're following the Spirit, just like you said, we will always see that people, just like the sermon title, the people are greater than religion. Whatever we have to do, we never change the message of the gospel. We never change the word of God. But if we have to meet outside on a Sunday morning, if we have to go to Africa, or if we have to do something new in the service so we can get more people to come, we're going to do that. And that's what we should do. If we have to do something good on the Sabbath, we're going to do that to reach the people for the gospel. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16 says this: "And don't forget to do good and share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God." There it is right there. If you want to please God, don't forget to do good and share with those in need. Even on the Lord's Day, we can find a way to do good. We can find a way to do good for people. Maybe just by coming together and encouraging each other while we worship, like we're doing today. Maybe it's just visiting and checking on somebody who's not able to be here with us today. Maybe it's taking a meal with somebody in need. You think that for one moment that God is going to say, "No, it's the Sabbath. How dare you go feed somebody who's hungry or check on somebody?" That's not his nature. That's not his heart. Maybe it's bringing somebody to worship with you at church, saying, "Why don't you come to church this morning? I'll come pick you up." Whatever it is, helping someone that's going through a rough time, caring for somebody who's sick. The list could go on and on and on. That is what I love about Jesus' leadership. See, he didn't just tell us what we should do and then live a different way. He didn't just give us an illustration of helping an animal on the Sabbath to help us understand and then just move on. No, instead, he did what? He led, and he leads by example. Look at verse 13 with me. This is what he says, and back in Matthew 12. "Then he said to the man, 'Hold out your hand.' So the man held out his hand, and it was restored, just like the other one." Now, before we really talk about this verse, let's remember what Luke recorded about this event. So if you want to flip back over to Luke, you can. But I'm just going to touch on it real quick. Jesus wasn't over in the corner of the temple. He wasn't out back. He wasn't hiding somewhere in the back pew, okay? He was standing in front. In fact, he was there teaching in the synagogue, in the temple. And he was up front where everybody could see what he was getting ready to do. And the whole time he was teaching, These religious leaders probably weren't even listening to his message. They weren't even listening to what he was saying. The whole time he was just, they were sitting there watching this man with the shriveled hand, and they were looking over and they were saying, I wonder if he's going to heal. Is he going to work on the Sabbath? Is he really going to break the law? What's he going to do? There was Jesus Christ himself teaching them in the temple. And all they were worried about was trying to trap him and trying to catch him and trying to hang him out to dry. I'm here to tell you that many people are still like this today in the church. They come to church looking at everyone else's faults instead of looking at their own. Remember, Jesus talked about that. But why in the world are you going to try to call out the little speck in my eye when you've got a telephone pole hanging out of your eye, right? We all have to come and we should just come and worship. We should come to encourage each other. Instead of coming to worship in spirit and truth, they were there to stir up trouble. What a sad life this is. What a sad trap we can get caught in. These religious leaders weren't focused on God at all. They didn't come to hear a message. In fact, I don't care if it's the most boring speaker. I don't care if it's the most eloquent speaker. Whatever it is, I don't care who it is that's preaching, who it is that's singing, leading into worship, whether they can sing on key or they can't, whatever. If we come with the right heart, wanting to worship in spirit and truth, if we come really wanting to hear the teaching of God's word, it doesn't matter how dynamic a speaker is or whatever, if we come with the right spirit, we're going to get something from it. As long as the person is worshiping in spirit and truth, as long as they're preaching the word, we're going to get something out of it if we come with the right spirit. But see, what these religious people didn't count on, as Luke tells us, Jesus knew their thoughts. He knew their motives. He knew exactly what they were thinking. Now listen to what he says. Jesus calls the man right up in front, and he asks these religious leaders in Luke. Listen to what he says in Luke chapter 6, verse 9. He says, does the law permit good deeds on the Sabbath, or is it a day for doing evil? Is this a day to save a life or destroy it? Then he looked around at them one by one. I love that. He looked at them. He didn't scour down for a minute. He looked at them, and he wanted to make sure that they were paying attention. He's telling them, saying, look, I know your evil thoughts. So is it a day for me to be like you and be evil in my thoughts and in my motive? Or is it a day for me to help this man? And he looks at them one by one, as if to say, are you watching what I'm getting ready to do? Because I don't want you to be any misunderstanding. I want you to see the heart of God right now. And the man reaches out his hand and he heals the man's hand, restoring his hand so it was just like the other one. You see, not only did Jesus state the truth, not only did he give the perfect illustration, but lastly, Jesus demonstrated the truth right there in front of everybody. People and their needs are always more important. They always come before the Sabbath and religious rules. People are greater than religion. Jesus was teaching the people, and he's teaching you, and he's teaching me today, the heart of God, just like we talked about. Does God want us to set aside a day to rest? Does God want us to set aside a day to focus on his holiness and to worship him and to say, man, I'm going to focus this day and make it a holy day because God is awesome and he deserves my praise? Absolutely. Does God want us to come and worship on Sunday mornings or whatever day we set aside to say we're going to come and worship as a body of believers and we're not going to go out and worry about making money. We're going to worship and we're going to sing praises to God? Of course he does, or he wouldn't have told us to do it in his word. But does he want us to neglect those in need and use the Sabbath day as an excuse to do it? Of course not. And that's exactly what these religious people were doing. Luke chapter 19, verse 10 says this, for the Son of Man came to seek and save those who were lost. And he tells us his purpose right there. I came because people are more important than religion. I came because I came to seek those and save those who are lost. He didn't say, I came to just to minister to those who already think they're perfect. I came to seek and save those who are lost. So as we close today, I want to take the focus off of these religious leaders and what they did wrong, because I don't want to be like them, all right, and what they did wrong. And let's focus on the ones who did what was right, all right? And there's two examples of that in this passage. First is the man with the deformed hand. He did everything that he was supposed to do. He was doing things right because he simply came to worship God. He came to the church. He came to the temple just to worship. Even with his imperfections, even though he was probably dealt a, this is kind of a pun, but he was dealt a bad hand, right? All right, so he had everything, you know, people would say, well, why would you worship God if this happened to you or whatever? Maybe he had a disease or whatever. He simply came to worship and to pray. He wanted an encounter with God. He came to worship God. And he brought all of his struggles, he brought all of his imperfections, he brought his weakness right into the temple, and he came to worship God. So he was doing what was right. Number two, then, of course, we have Jesus. We know everything he does is right. Jesus was there. He wasn't behind a curtain. He wasn't behind a confession booth. He was right there among those who came to worship and to be restored. He knew the thoughts of those who were there to cause problems. He knew their thoughts and their motives. But he also knew the hearts and the motives of those who came to worship and the needs that they had in their life. So let me remind us this morning, Jesus is among us today. Matthew chapter 18, verse 20 says this. Jesus says this, "For where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them." Jesus is here this morning. He's with you this morning. I'm telling you, not for one second do I hesitate to tell you this. If the Spirit of God can raise Christ from the dead, and the Spirit of God can wash away, the blood of Christ can wash away my sin and make me a new creation, He can travel better than a cell phone service or better than internet can. So whether you're here with us physically today or whether you're at home, Jesus is among us today because we've still gathered in His name. And Jesus is here. He knows your heart. He knows your struggle. He knows my heart and my struggles, whether it's struggle with sin, struggle with a physical weakness, whatever it is. And just like he proved in this passage today, there's nothing that is more sacred to God. There's nothing that's more sacred to Jesus than you. Nothing more sacred than you. In fact, it's so sacred that he gave his life. He was whipped with every swing and every contact that whip made on his back. Every person that spit in his face and spit on it. Every time the nail and the hammer hit the nail and it drove his hands and his feet onto the cross. With every time that he struggled on the cross to raise himself up enough to get breath to continue to live. With every bit of pain that must have gone through his nerves into his back and up his nervous system there that he had. I can't imagine the pain he went through. He did it because nothing is more sacred to God than you. Nothing. And when his people, who he created, who he gave his life for, simply come to worship him, we always leave restored. If we come really looking to worship him and to be changed and to let him work in us, we always leave restored. So no matter whether we're here today, no matter whether we're at home, no matter whether you listen to the podcast later, you know what? If you simply just worship the Lord and come in spirit and truth and say, "God, you know my heart, you know my motives, how much I've messed up, or you know what I'm dealing with, you know how much I'm hurting right now physically or mentally or emotionally, what spiritually, whatever it is," you come to him and you say, "God, I'm still going to worship you. And I'm still going to come and I'm going to put all my trust in you. And I ask God that you heal me." And you know what? God's will is perfect. And he'll work in our life. And so I just want to encourage you with that today. If you were dealing with something, maybe you've been offended in the church and you've walked away from the church for a long time. I would encourage you, we want you to come back. Whatever church you're going to. You need to get back in a Christian fellowship and other believers. But if not, you know what? Jesus will accept you. Maybe you fall into sin, whatever it is. Jesus will invite you back and he will assure you, just like he did with this man, that not only can he restore you physically or spiritually, but he wants to use you in a mighty way. And until we figure that out, until we let him work in our life, we're going to continue thinking, just like this crippled man in the synagogue was, he's probably going to think, "Well, God can never use me," but God wants to use our weaknesses, just like Paul said, for his glory. For his strength. And when we are weak, we are strong. Let's go to the Lord in prayer real close. Father, we just love you and we thank you, Lord, that we really do have the opportunity, Lord, to be strong in Christ. Even in our weakness, even if sometimes, Lord, the weaker that we are, the stronger that you see us and that you want to make us. Because all of us get out of the way. Our pride and all that is stripped away, then we can really start to focus on it. Lord, I pray today that everybody that's here today, maybe it's somebody who's listening online, Lord, that we would bring our weaknesses before you. We would fall on our knees and we would worship you for the goodness of God. Your faithfulness that's been there all along through us in life. Even though we're not perfect, even though we know this world is broken, God, we can still look around and see the goodness of God. And so, Lord, we just pray, I pray, Lord, that we would all focus on that today, that we would worship you in spirit and truth, and, Lord, that we would look to you to be healed. And lastly, God, that we would be used by you, that you would raise us up, that you would restore us so we could go out and be a living testimony for the power of God and what it can do in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, thanks again for joining us online. I just want to say before we close, and to those who are here today, if there's somebody in need, we just talked about it, make sure we reach out to somebody if they're on our heart. But if you are listening online and you don't have electricity, if you don't have food, if you don't need something, whatever you need, reach out to us, because I know we're without power in my house, and I've had like 20 people offer their showers and everything else, and so that's what the church is supposed to do. So if there's something you need, reach out to us. Do not sit alone when you need something, because that's what the church family is here. And there's plenty of people, just like we proved with all the people that are doing stuff around the church, so we could have service today, that are willing and ready to help. So, but sometimes we can't help you if we don't know you're in need. So make sure you let us know.